Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Welcome, I'm Stephen, and you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. For those of you who don't know, I practice a rare form of judicial astrology, and I read tarot cards at PsychicAccess.com. But tonight, it's not about me, it's all about Donna Cunningham. Over 45 years of experience as a professional astrologer, over 1,000 articles in print, 15 internationally recognized and received astrology books, 20 years of advice columns for Dell Horoscope. Donna Cunningham is a luminary in astrology, and we are absolutely happy to have her here with us tonight talking about natal stellia, complex celestial configurations that produce some of society's most interesting personalities. But first, before we bring on Donna Cunningham, I would like to extend a warm welcome to Satya. Hi, Satya.
Hey, Stephen.
How are you this evening?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, you know, I got to tell you, a few days ago, I read your article, Forgiveness Meditation, on psychicbloggers.com, and I was amazed by it. I walked away with tools that I could instantly use that were instantly useful to me. And I wanted to ask you, do you just focus on spiritual work over at psychicaccess.com, or do you have other specialties?
Well, I'm intuitive. I'm an empath and a medium. So I get a lot of information from people's guides as well as my own guide. So it kind of varies and it depends. You know, each person needs something completely different. And so I kind of intuit my way, you know, to each individual energy and see what they need.
Oh, okay. So you're able actually to pick up on my spirit guides, anybody, other people's spirit guides, and work with them as well.
Exactly.
Oh, very talented. Well, we are so happy to have you here, and thank you for joining us tonight, and enjoy the interview.
Thanks.
Well, that brings us to Maureen. How are you doing this evening, Maureen?
I'm doing very well. It's very beautiful here where I live.
And is it?
Yes, it is. California beach. It's lovely. Spring's in the air.
Spring is definitely in the air. Well, why don't you tell us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Well, I do what I do always in my work. And I take it very seriously, but I got a sense of humor. I'm a psychic, intuitive consultant, empath. I utilize the tarot cards as my main tool. As I feel that tarot is the symbolic record of human experience. And that's how I'm self-taught, and that's how I connected with them through my journey. It was difficult, but I do this because I must, and I have a caring heart with all that I work with.
Awesome.
And all the people that I work with, you too, everybody.
You're very talented. That's one thing about PsychicAccess.com. Our psychics, they spread over various disciplines, and you're very talented. Happy to have you here. Another talented psychic is Steve Frampton, and he's with us tonight. How are you, Steve?
Doing very well, thank you, Stephen.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm very happy because tonight you've laid out a feast for the intellect tonight. Donna Cunningham, one of the foremost astrologers. Now, you're also an astrologer, aren't you?
Yes, Hermetic astrologer, although Hermetic astrology is the foundation of my astrological education. And you know that in Hermetic astrology, we focus on the 10 planets, 12 signs of the zodiac. But I personally do a lot of research beyond that into eclipses, asteroids, fixed stars, you name it. It's a lot of fun. I'm also a psychic medium.
Ah, so just like all the other psychics at the PsychicAccess.com website, you are multidisciplinary.
I try my best.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. I'm very excited to hear from Donna Cunningham tonight. So please, can you tell us a little bit more about her and what she does?
Absolutely. Well, I'm so excited that we have Donna on the show. She's an award-winning astrologer with a master's degree in social work, and she has over 45 years experience as a professional astrologer and a very solid background in other disciplines like flower essences and healing tools. She's the internationally known author of 15 well-received astrology books, 20 years of advice columns for Dell Horoscope, and thousands of astrology articles. She's just incredible. She was born in 1942 and has over 70 years of experience managing her Gemini stellium, so three planets clustered together in Gemini. And she's just written the only known reference book on stelliums called the Stellium Handbook. So we'll be picking Donna's brain and learning all about natal stellia.
Lovely. Well, the Psychic Viewpoint is proud to present Stephen Frampton with Donna Cunningham.
Thank you, Stephen. Donna, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're honored to have you, Donna. We've been raving about you all week.
Oh, great.
We're really excited to learn from you. You've got an incredible experience, and I know that you've written the only handbook, the only book on the stellium.
Yes, so, well, you know, for many, many years, people would only write, a paragraph about it, you know, now and then. But in this era today, there are probably, I would say, more people with stelliums in their natal chart than have ever existed. And the reason for that is because over the last 50 years, two of the slower-moving planets, they weren't always the same two, but there were always two of the slower-moving planets. And when you've got two such planets, then, let's say it's in Virgo, and then you're in, and now you're in the sun sign Virgo, you might have the Sun and Mercury and Venus as well. So, and then, you know, from Virgo, it went to Libra, and it went to Scorpio, and Sagittarius, and Capricorn, and Aquarius. So that it just kept building a momentum through the last half of the zodiac, where there were all kinds of people born every year with these stelliums that involve the outer planets. And they are the strongest kind of stellium. By the way, three planets doesn't make a stellium, but it may make a triple conjunction. And a triple conjunction has a lot of star qualities. I'm thinking of people, for instance, born with Pluto and Uranus in Virgo in the 1960s. And then on top of that, you know, maybe they had Mars or something like that. Johnny Depp and Robert Downey Jr. were both had Mars, Pluto, and Uranus conjunct as a triple conjunction, and they've been blockbuster stars. And I think Whitney Houston had Venus there, and you know, it's just a lot of charisma when you get something like that. But a stellium is four planets, and I think that's actually a little harder to manage. So, in my research, I didn't find as many, you know, top stars with stelliums. But if you're coming into a consultation room with clients, you're likely to find a lot of them these days.
It's fascinating, Donna, really fascinating. And I want to ask you whether you consider a stellium to be a good thing, a bad thing, or what the pluses and minuses might be.
Yes. Well, I won't kid you, they're a little hard to live with. You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of hectic. It's like being the head of a household where there are four lively teenagers, and with all the tumultuous ups and downs of that age. There's always someone demanding attention, you know. Somebody's always mad at you, or they're feeling abused and put upon, or they want you to lay out money. Well, the four planets in the stellium are kind of like that. We are so close together. You see, a stellium hardly ever is more than 30 degrees, and it might be that the four planets are even closer together. Like Prince William, for instance, has a stellium, and the four planets are in about 15 degrees, half a sign, you see. So it's a lot of energy focused in one area of life, and that can be a difficult thing. It's a challenging thing. And yet when you focus that much energy in just one little part of your chart, you can accomplish a lot of amazing things. If you understand, and this is one of the reasons I wrote the book, you see, with so many people having these combinations, there's a lot of talent out there. There's a lot of exceptional people. I mean, it's amazing to me the young people that have it who are doing incredible things, you know, with music or the arts or sports or whatever. They're just doing incredible things with these concentrations of energies. And so I wrote the book because every one of the planets has a good way of being used, and every one of them has a bad way of being used. And the key to it is being consciously aware of what your potentials are, if you have some of this, and how you can, you know, use those energies well. And I've developed a lot of tools. The book is full of tools for people to get more insight so they can get more out of their stelliums.
And Donna, do the four planets have to be just within 30 degrees of each other? Or do they have to be under the same sign or in the same house, for example?
Well, they're two different kinds of stelliums. One is a stellium by sign, meaning that there are four planets in that one sign. They don't have to be in the same house, but it's stronger and more important if it is in the same house. And likewise, there are stelliums by house, four planets in the same house of the zodiac, you know, of the chart. You know, there are 12 houses, but to have the concentration of four is very, very powerful, because you're focusing all your energy on a certain area of life. And the good thing about that is you can accomplish a great deal, and you can have quite a body of work that you accumulate in the course of a lifetime. So a stellium by sign is one thing, a stellium by house is another, and if you have your stellium is in one sign and one house, then it's really a powerhouse.
So I have, Donna, three planets, the Moon, Venus, and Mercury, all at 9 degrees Aquarius. So that's a triple conjunction, right? The Sun is not far away, but it's in a different house, and it's in Capricorn.
Uh-huh. But that kind of, again, the triple conjunction is a powerful focus of energy. And you said the Moon, Venus, and what?
I have the Moon, Venus, and Mercury at 9 degrees Aquarius in the fifth house.
Uh-huh. Well, that's very creative, and it would make you quite the performer. And I think you'd have a gift with young people. Teaching them things about themselves in perhaps a very entertaining way, you know.
Yes, I'd like, later in life, I'd like to create a school for gifted kids and have a very strong academic but also very strong metaphysical education. That's my plan.
Yes, that sounds great. And that's, as I say, the kind of where your stellium or your triple conjunction is, the house that it's placed in. You know, I don't know if your audience is aware of all the houses, but the fifth house is the house of both children and performance and making things fun. Let's say if they were in the third house instead. The third house is about communication, and it might be one for writing, for instance. It depends on the house where the stellium is placed. One thing you'll notice if you ever, I don't know if your audience has seen charts of people with stelliums, but what's remarkable about them is, of course, you're going to find that one focus of energy. I mean, some of the charts I've looked at, Taylor Swift, for instance, has seven planets in Capricorn, and they're mostly focused, they're between the fifth and the sixth house. But then what happens when you've got a focus like that is you also have a lot of empty houses. And I believe that is the intention. I believe we are conscious before we're born, and we have a hand in choosing, you know, our focus, our purpose in life. And so the chart for when we're born reflects that. And, you know, there are a variety of things that would be your purpose in life. But if you have a stellium in one house, then the matters, the areas of life that you're really here to focus on are in that house. And as a result, there are lots of empty houses, meaning that your energies are not focused so strongly in those other areas as they are in that one house. It's kind of, but with that kind of focus, over the course of a lifetime, you can accomplish a great deal in that area. There is a learning curve with a stellium. I wish, the reason I wrote this book really was for the young people with Capricorn and Aquarius stelliums that are, you know, they're coming up now. If I had had a book like this when I was in my 20s, it would have made my life a lot easier. What really helps is understanding who you are, why you're here, so that you don't start off feeling how strange you are, you know, and why can't you do the things that other people can do? Well, because you're not here for that. You're here for, let's say, to work creatively, or maybe you're here to help, you know, people from another country who are struggling, you know, whatever. The chart will kind of tell you that.
Wonderful, Donna. So anybody that has a triple conjunction or a stellium can use the workbook to better understand themselves and their path in the world. And it explains to them the importance or the focus of the house that the triple conjunction or stellium resides in.
Yes, yes. Now, the way that I wrote this book, I took great pains, believe me. It's not easy to write simply about something like astrology. And yet my intention throughout was to write it in everyday language that the newcomer to astrology could use. Because if the people with these stelliums and triple conjunctions, they probably are not going to have time to study astrology, you know, because they're really busy with their music or their art or their computer program, whatever it is they're here about. So I tried to write it in language that they could read, and step by step through each chapter, I add layers and layers of insight. You know, you'll learn about your stellium sign, then you'll learn about the house, then you learn about the individual planets in the chart, the outer ones, and sometimes it's likely that you will have conjunctions, both triple conjunctions and regular conjunctions of two planets, and how do they all work together, you know? And the main focus is on learning how to manage your stellium, you know, to do things that enhance your abilities, not to do things that would be going down the wrong path, you know, to self-defeating behaviors and so on. So with each layer that I add on, there's like a self-test. The purpose of the book is to create what I call a stellium worksheet, which is a self-inventory. And it talks about the positive uses of a sign, for instance, and then the self-defeating uses of the sign. And you go through and you rank, you know, how often do you use those qualities in a positive way, and how are you maybe using them that it doesn't help you. So you can consciously work toward getting rid of the patterns that don't help you, and to capitalize on the strengths of the sign or the planet or the house.
I've seen the book, Donna. I've seen the handbook and worked through it. It's absolutely brilliant. It's very, very useful to actually work through it and reflect, as you said. I do want to ask you a little bit about the some of the tougher planets, some of the more challenging planets like Pluto or Neptune. So if a person has Pluto or Neptune within the stellium, What advice can you give them about avoiding any problems that those planets might present?
Yes, well, the thing is that there aren't any bad guys among the planets, but surely the slower moving ones, and, you know, it's common to talk about the outer planets, but I talk about the outermost because I include Saturn. Saturn isn't as quickly moving, and as it, its effects aren't as light as, let's say, Mars or Jupiter or something like that. And so when Saturn is part of the stellium, then it colors the stellium just as Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto do. But what I do in the book is these, again, these self-tests that tell you what Uranus is good for and what you want to, you know, what you want to avoid. And then, you know, you get to rank where you are in terms of the constructive traits and the not so constructive traits. And then what I do is add tune-ups. In other words, these are sort of like stress relievers, because it can be stressful to have your stellium include those slower moving planets, and even some of the signs are more difficult than others. My stellium, thankfully, is in Gemini, which is a little bit, you know, a little bit lightweight, but it's more difficult, for instance, for those young people born in like 1988 to 90 who had quite a lot of planets in Capricorn. Capricorn takes a lot more growing into, let's say, than Gemini does. So these little tune-ups, these little helpful hints of what you can do to ease the stresses of those outer planets, plus the insight that comes from monitoring, are you using Pluto in a constructive way or a destructive way, you know? So the more awareness of how you're using these parts of yourself. Now, the planets, I always say it's not that the planets are doing anything to us. They simply reflect these different parts of ourselves. And one of the tools is to dialogue with those parts of yourself. For instance, if you know that that Uranus gets restless if authority figures are coming down on it, or if it's not allowed, if you're not allowed to be who you are, and so on, what can you do to ease that off? And frankly, sometimes I brought my Uranus is the lead planet, which is the very first planet in the stellium. It's important. It's called the lead planet because that's the first response when a new situation comes up or during a transit. So you have to be very aware of that first planet. And mine is Uranus, and sometimes it really gets mad when it doesn't get its freedom, you know. So I have a little dialogue with it. You know, at one point when I was writing the book, it was really long and really hard, and I could tell my Uranus was getting frustrated, you know. So I said, okay, look, I know this is hard. You'd rather be free. What can I do to make this better for you? And that part of myself spoke up and said, iPad. You know, it wanted an iPad. And that did help, you know. And so anyway, there are all kinds of what I would call workarounds for these difficult planets. And to become familiar enough with that part of yourself to know that, oh, that's my Uranus talking, you know, or that's my Neptune talking. And what can I do to ease it? What can I do? For Neptune, for instance, it might be that dance would be a good outlet, or music, listening to music, or going swimming, or doing Tai Chi, you know, that there are different, for each different planet, there are things that are helpful and soothing.
Wonderful. I wanted to ask you a question about you know, thinking about children. If we think of a kid that's living in a small town, and they feel a little unusual, perhaps they have a stellium, would living somewhere else help them to feel better about who they are and find other people like themselves?
Yes. Well, first of all, thankfully, we're in an era when they don't have to necessarily go anywhere to find people who are like themselves. You can find them on the internet, you know, in forums and whatnot, and chat rooms and stuff. But yes, I would have to say that some of us are too strange, are different anyway, for the towns we grow up in. I certainly grew up in a town of very small town, And I got away to New York, you know, before I actually finally found out where I belonged, you know. But what's interesting to know is that astrology, and I talk about it in the book, there are a lot of different kinds of astrology and a lot of different tools and systems that can help people. And relocation astrology is a specialty in which an astrologer can help you find a place on Earth that is good for you. It's the tool is called astrocartography, and it's not because stellians are so complicated with everything gathered together like that. I would say don't do this yourself. It's not a good do-it-yourself project. Get to somebody who is certified in that sort of work. And there's a website called continuum.net that has articles, lots, 50 articles about relocation astrology, and it has a list of people who've been certified in the methods to use. But yes, I do believe that the feeling, a lot of people with stelliums can tend to feel very alienated, you know, and sometimes it's just good to go to a place where people understand you and that you can share with, you know, if you have what I call a mission, you have a purpose, a use for your talents, and you can be in a location where that particular field is developing and you can be up on the state of the art and be with other talented people who are working on those gifts, you know, that could be a blessing. That kind of move could be the greatest thing that has ever happened to you.
And how does that work, Donna? Is it based upon the location's sun sign, for example? So if I wanted to live somewhere that was very Aquarian, how would I go about identifying places that resonate to Aquarius?
Yes, it's not quite like that. Have you ever seen an astrocartography map?
Yes.
Right. It's a map of the world with all these lines on it. You know, they take your birth information and run it through this program to lay out a map of the world. And it'll show places, you know, again, it needs to be interpreted by a professional who studied this, but can find the places in the world that would put your talents and abilities to the best use. And the funny thing about it is, for instance, one of my spiritual teachers, one of the people who influenced me, was from India. And I have a Jupiter line going through there, and the Hindu word for Jupiter is guru. And so the one person I would have called my guru was born on a line where my Jupiter was placed, you know. And also some of my books are very popular in certain countries I've never even visited, but they've been translated and so on. So there are a lot of uses to that map. Even if you don't move somewhere, your work might have an impact on that life, on that place, or that place, people and art or fabrics or whatever from that place can become part of your work. It's very interesting.
It is. So it also could help us to understand where our work would be best received or most popular.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, yes. Yes.
Wow.
Especially
that's fascinating.
The lines that are where it's on the midheaven, when one of your planets is on the midheaven, are important places for your career.
Fascinating, Don. It's fascinating. Well, I know you talked a little bit about healing, and I know that you're very interested in flower essences and healing. Do you believe or find that some healing tools, like flower essences, for example, resonate to different signs of the zodiac or different planets? Is there a correlation?
Well, yes, I do. I just finished revising my ebook on flower essences. And because the most people who ever bought that book were people who are into astrology, I moved up the chapter that talks about astrology and the essences. And also on my blog, Skywriter, it's Skywriter, like writing, you know, like this, so they write in the sky. My blog, skywriter.wordpress.com, has dozens and dozens of articles on how to use the flower essences that match your astrological needs. You know, there are essences for Saturn and for Pluto and for the signs, yes. Like, for instance, Virgo, people who have a strong Virgo or Capricorn might need beech, which is for a Bach remedy, for people who are overly critical of themselves and others. There's one for Cancer, is honeysuckle, and that's for people who have nostalgia or who feel homesick. You know, every planet and every sign has a bunch of essences that might help them. And so with a stellium, you would pay particular attention to the essences for that particular sign. And they're listed in the book, you know. I go through each stellium sign as to, you know, a stellium sign might be different than a moon sign. You know, it's a different focus. But in each case, I will list the remedies that are good for that sign.
Fantastic. And is that book available on Amazon, Donna?
No, I haven't gotten that far yet. It's available on my blog, skywriter.wordpress.com.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful, Donna. Well, Donna, we're going to take a short break just for 1 minute, and then we'll be back with more questions.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
I wanted to ask you, Donna, on the break, a question
one
that
of the
my
hosts
colleague
was asking me about aspects to the
Stephen,
stellium.
Stephen, go ahead and ask Donna your question.
Well, thank you very much for letting me ask this question, Donna. It's very nice to talk to you. I would like to know about aspects that are cast to a stellium. Does it affect all the planets in the stellium, even if they're out of orb of that aspect?
I think you would, like, for instance, the conjunction in a stellium. It could be what you call a rolling conjunction, where planet A is conjunct planet B, but it's a little far for C. And I'd say the same thing for, let's say, a square or an opposition, because if the planets are all kind of in a series of, you know, then you would extend the orb for the square or whatever, because the planets that are more exact are pulling the other ones in. And the same with the transit, you know, by the way. One of the things that's difficult about a stellium is that when you get a transit to the first planet in the series, the transiting planet will continue to go on, and it'll form the aspects, whether it is a conjunction, which is very powerful, or, say, a square, or maybe a nice trine that makes everything flow. It starts with planet number one, and it just goes boom, 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 until it leaves the sign where those aspects are being formed. And that can some, if it's a difficult planet, like, let's say, Pluto, and Pluto's already part of the stellium, then that's really an important era. But I call it that this happens to us in various times of life. You know, maybe, you know, 1 year Saturn will be going through all those aspects, and a few years later it might be Uranus or something. That nonetheless, there's a sort of pattern that's formed by the order of the planets in the stellium. And I call that a story arc, because it's kind of like, oh, it's coming around again. You know, that maybe 5 years ago when Saturn was there, a certain progression of events happened, a series of things happened, and it worked out a certain way. And now this new planet, maybe Uranus or Neptune, is now forming those series of aspects, and the same issues will come up. It's like I say, it's a repetitive story arc in your life. And it can get better, you see. The better you're able to use the planets in the series, in the stellium, the better the results you're going to get from the transit. But it's good. What's good about this, you see, is that the book will explain to you what all those pieces of your life are about, and how you can know when you're going off track again, you see, and pull up short, you know, so that you don't go down the same path and make the same mistakes over and over again. Again, that's a wonderful thing that astrology gives us, is the insight.
Oh, thank you very much for that, Donna. That cleared up a big area of confusion for me. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Stephen. Donna, what about somebody that was born in, say, 1989 with Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn all standing next to one another in Capricorn?
Yes. This is a very, very unusual event. It's something I call a super conjunction, when there are three of the slower moving planets standing together. We've had a lot of instances in the last 50 years of two of those slower moving planets standing together, like Pluto and Uranus, or Pluto and Saturn, or whatever. But this is so rare that the last time that happened was in 1307, and the one before that was 625 AD. So you can see that, you know, astrologers don't even quite understand it very well, because it's never happened before in this lifetime. So it's extremely rare, and yet because it's very slow moving, it was Uranus and Neptune were close together for almost 10 years, and the Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn was about 2.5 years, I think. But what was interesting when I researched it was that I went through the ephemeris, and every single day in 1989, those three planets were within a 10-degree range of one another for an entire year. And that means that every single child born on the planet in 1989 had it. So that is beyond unusual. That is really, really rare. And it just, quote, coincidentally happened that the world birth rate was the highest ever recorded. There were 138 children born around the globe in 1989. And it was also true of 5 months of 1988 and parts of 1990. So as rare as this is historically, there are millions and millions of people born with this combination. And that is essentially what impelled me to write the book, because I can remember what it was like to be in my 20s. You know, in your 20s, you're making very important life decisions. You're choosing your life path, and you're figuring out where you fit into the scheme of things. You're figuring out your career. You're figuring out what your relationships are all about. Those are basic life decisions that every person in their 20s has to make. But those young people born with that triple conjunction in Capricorn had had to somehow reconcile those three very different energies. I mean, how do you be Saturn and Neptune at the same time? How do you be, you know, stable, responsible, and at the same time be creative and dreamy and kind of lost sometimes in your own dream world? I mean, Saturn is down to Earth. Those are two of a pair. But then throw in Uranus, which is so so quirky. It's so its own person. It's so rebellious and mavericky and all that sort of thing. How do you make those three things work together? It's kind of like, you know, Saturn rules Capricorn, Uranus rules Aquarius, Neptune rules Pisces. It'd be kind of like three people, a Capricorn, Aquarian, and a Pisces, living together in a studio apartment. I mean, how do you do that? You know, so I don't envy them that they're struggling to make all those three things work together. It's a very difficult thing. And the only thing I will say about it is that Capricorn is by itself a late blooming sign, because the things it wants to achieve are so much more difficult and so much more ambitious in terms of climbing that mountaintop, you know, like the goat does. And so these are, I heard such really heartbreaking stories about how much difficulty these young people were in trying to make those things all work together inside themselves. That was a great impetus why I wrote the book, and why I wrote it in everyday language, because I would hope that this would reach some of those young people and give them sort of a clue as to what was special about them. Why are they here? Why do they choose to be born with such a thing? You know, because I think they have something really special to offer the world, and I really think, you know, you've probably heard of soul groups, that yes. In terms of incarnating, there are people, you know, there are groups, large groups of thousands of people who have a single purpose in a certain way, or they're aligned with one another. And for them to all be born around the world with this combination, I think they're very much here for a purpose. And I think that because it's in Capricorn, that part of why they're here is to save the Earth that we are decimating so much, or to bring the world together in more peace.
Do you feel as well, Donna, that these kids born with Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn conjunct in Capricorn will perhaps feel led to question the structures and traditions of governance?
Oh, believe me, they already do.
Sorry?
They already do. You know, they can be rather cynical about what's going on, because they're so perceptive about the hierarchies and the structures and so on. And a lot of them are quite depressed, you know, because they don't see a place in the world for them, you know, to be who they are and to work with their talents and so on. Or they go to college, you know, and there's no jobs, you know. So I think they're really struggling at this point in time. But what my hope is for them is, you know, that about 28 to 29, there's something called the Saturn return, which we all get at around that age. But in their case, it's very pivotal, because when Saturn has gone clear around the sun and gets back to Capricorn, it's making the same aspects again with Uranus and Neptune. It's going to be a very major time for them. And what happens to a lot of us is that we're not really grown up when we're 21, you know, even though that's the law, that we're now adults. We really come into our own at the Saturn return, because we're mature enough to see what we're here for and what we want to accomplish. And we're getting, like, settled into our life purpose or our work or whatever. So I have great hope. But I forget what year they get their Saturn return. like 2020, 2018, something like that.
That looks like a very interesting time astrologically as well, 2020 mm-hmm. and the 2020s generally. I want to ask you, Donna, if you don't mind, about the 20th of April this month, because we have what we call the cardinal cross, as you know, the four signs making a square, in effect, which is a very challenging dynamic. What's your view on that cardinal cross that occurs, or that it will be exact, on the 20th of April?
Oh, I wish I could say wonderful, glowing things about a transformative energy. But, you know, you have to, what I think about when I think about these aspects is that Pluto and Uranus will be exactly square, and there is a cycle of aspects between Pluto and Uranus. This is, I'd say, more like Richard Tarnas or Dennis Harness's field, because it really affects us through, you know, through the political, economic, environmentalistic, the whole realm of things that impact individuals through mass movements. And when Pluto and Uranus were, when I was born, they were sextile. When my generation was, came of age in the 1960s, you can imagine all the kinds of, it was a conjunction, and all the kinds of activities, political activities, protests, against the war and, you know, discrimination and all that kind of stuff really came to a head in the 1960s. Now, the square before that was in the 1930s, you know, with World War II and the Great Depression and all kinds of political, economic, and social unrest going on. And now we're back to a square with Pluto being in Capricorn. In the 30s, it was Pluto was in Cancer and Uranus was in Aries. But now it's Uranus in Aries again, but Pluto in Capricorn. So again, we're at another square. And so it's more about what does this whole cycle of aspects between Pluto and Uranus, what does it do? And it's often a time of political and social upheaval. Now, in the 60s, I think we made great progress in changing some of the inequities and so on. Oh, there was a time, the last time Pluto and Uranus were conjunct, it was in 1820 or something like that. No, wait a second. Yeah, it was just before the Civil War began. So again, that was political injustices and so on that were coming to the head. So I'm hoping, I haven't seen any indication of it yet, but that the ultimate outcome of this series of squares between Pluto and Uranus will be some kind of reform in terms of injustices and inequities in the world, but I don't see it yet. But anyway,
well, it's interesting, Donna, that today
when you add in Jupiter and Mars, it's a time when that sort of thing will get activated, I think.
There is quite a lot of controversy, Donna, today about the treatment of prisoners post 9/11.
Oh,
That's come to the forefront today, and that there's a request to declassify evidence about how prisoners were treated.
Yes, yes.
It's a good example of that.
I think prisoners in general are not treated well, you know. Especially minority people too, you know. But yes, we're just bubbling at the head of something about the problems of misuses of power against especially against people who protest or who are different.
Interesting times.
Indeed.
So, Donna, can you tell us, when people have a stellium or triple conjunction, what advice can you give them? What things should they do to better understand themselves? One obviously is working through the handbook.
Yes. Well, there is a chapter. Well, part of what goes with such complexities and internal, there are internal conflicts often in the stellium, especially when the outer planets are involved. And to know that we have to work out how to make those two energies coexist, but along with it, there builds up a great deal of pressure and a great deal of stress. And the last chapter of the book talks about ways we can relieve the stress, ways that we can heal anything that has hurt us as we've tried so hard to find out who we are. There are so many different forms of healing, and also just supportive measures like EFT, which is also called tapping, which you can, they're sort of like acupressure points, but you tap on them in order to relieve anxiety or grief or whatever. Flower essences, again, the Bach remedies, they're from England, and they were developed during the Depression, and they address such things as, you know, perfectionism when you're too hard on yourself, or stored up grief, or they're not a magic bullet, but they can catalyze our insight and understanding of the things that internal conflict, you know. And there are also things like goal setting and how to use astrological timing to succeed in your work, and just quite a lot of them. Oh, and the power of intention, you know, like, I don't remember his name. Wayne Dyer, that's it, Dr. Wayne Dyer. How to use the power of intention to achieve what you want, you know. Or another thing called thought forms. Have you ever noticed that, you know, you may really, really not want a certain thing, but you keep attracting it? Often there's what's called a thought form in your energy field, your aura, that by thinking the same things over and over and over again, the same negative things, it's crystallized into, it's almost solid form, and it draws in the very things that you don't want. Now, there are positive thought forms that attract the positive things, but it's the kind of thing that gets in the way. I mean, you know, I don't know, sometimes people start to feel like they're metaphysical morons, you know, because they've affirmed and they've, you know, the positive affirmations and visualizations and all of that, nothing changes. And it's often because there's a thought form of one kind or another. So that particular chapter, the final chapter in the book, goes through a variety of very simple, inexpensive healing tools that people can do to get rid of the blockages that their stellium, you know, has experienced, and get, you know, onto a path where they can really achieve the things they want to do.
Well, Donna, it's been absolutely wonderful to have you with us. You've got so much knowledge. It's just incredible. Now, you've just finished this book, and I know that you're a very prolific writer. What do you plan next?
You can blame that on my stellium in Gemini. I have four planets in Gemini, including Mercury. And I live to write. You know, I mean, I've been writing all my life, and yet this is the point I want to make, that people grow into their stellium, and after, you know, they build on it, and they build on it, and they build on it, so that your best years of using your stellium can be in your 50s, 60s, 70s, you know. But that is why I'm prolific, you know. Thank you very much. And like I say, the Stellium Handbook, I've written it, or struggled anyway, to write it in language that people could read and understand, even if they've never studied astrology. And it's something also that a professional astrologer can use to help these stellium people that are going to more and more and more be coming to the consultation rooms.
Wonderful, Donna. Well, I want to thank you on behalf of everybody that has a stellium or a triple conjunction for being so thoughtful and producing that work for them. And
thank
want to thank you
so
for
much.
All of the wonderful work you do. Donna will be certainly getting hold of that book. I've got a copy that you kindly sent me, and I very much enjoyed it. I'll be studying it more times.
I think I sent you a link that you could put on your site that people could download some of the material from the book.
Yes, and that's on your website, isn't it?
It is on my website, but yes, it is. It's skywriter.wordpress.com.
Wonderful. Well, we'll certainly be checking that out, Donna. I want to thank you once again for taking the time out of your schedule to join us.
Yes, such a pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
You're welcome, Donna. It's been wonderful, and we'd love you to join us again sometime in the future. And thank you once again.
All right. So long.
Thank you, Donna. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
What a great interview, Stephen. I know you enjoyed that.
I had to collect myself. There's so much going through my head right now. Really, we're just going to have to revisit the archives on this one because I tell you, it's just so much stuff that is going on in here. And before we even really get into talking about it, Steve, what I'd love to do is just go ahead and make a few announcements. And then I'm sure all of the hosts here on Psychic Viewpoint are going to be happy to sound off about everything Donna had to say. Well, first things first, I want to remind everyone listening that we have still a whole other hour left. Just because Donna Cunningham left makes us sad, but she's gone now. We still have an hour where we're going to be here taking your free calls, so don't change that dial. We're going to announce the call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch last week's interview, again, you'll find a recorded archive of that one, as well as all the interviews we've done on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. We want you to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family, because there's a lot of light, a lot of goodness in these archives, and we at Psychic Viewpoint believe the goodness needs to be shared around so that we can treat each other better. Be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com as well to learn about everything related to metaphysics for free. Everything from reincarnation to soulmate seeking to meditation is there at psychicbloggers.com. We want you to spread the word. If you want a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to discover more about them. You can choose from a list of some of the most authentically gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because they really, really do their homework on these psychics, and they work hard to make psychicaccess.com a scam-free zone. Very proud of that fact. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. If you'd like a detailed personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, if you own a website, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that you refer to us at PsychicAccess.com. For more details and to see the wonderful, wonderful banner ads and other complex marketing tools we have available for you, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, and we sincerely hope that you do, we want you to invite your friends to join us in our chat room. We have a very important message to spread here every Thursday, and we need all of you to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's going to be something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Now, here comes the time where we all get to take all of this information that was put in our head and sort of regurgitate it and make some sense out of this. Steve. I don't even know where to begin. You have a stellium in your chart. What's your experience been like with dealing with that stellium?
Well, I have the triple conjunction. I've got Mercury, Venus, and the Moon in the fifth house, all squared by Uranus.
Ah, now has that been a difficult influence for you to deal with sometimes? Or I mean, this is a complex thing here.
Well, I think because the three planets are at the same degree in Aquarius. That's why I'm so hungry to learn, because it's an air sign, and it's particularly because it's Aquarius. I'm so intrigued by anything that is Aquarian, so the occult, astrology,
Well, you are a psychic medium, and I must say that Aquarius is being ruled by Saturn is a great way to sort of materialize psychic ability. Would you credit that or as being one of the factors for your mediumship?
Well, I think in my chart, my Neptune is really nice. I've got a very harmonious Neptune, and Neptune's the ruler of mediumship. I think that the triple conjunction in Aquarius gives me a particular interest in studying and learning about metaphysics and trying to understand it logically. But I know that my Sun is in the third decanate of Capricorn, which is the decanate of mediumship.
Ah, yes. Yeah, and Saturn, which rules Capricorn and Aquarius, is sort of the universal and natural symbol of the astrologer, of the wise one. And I would definitely say that fits with you. I'm actually looking at your natal chart right now, and, you know, it has such a concentration of Earth in it, it really makes sense that you're able to take or able to make contact with spirit world and bring these messages back to the Earth plane. I mean, and it's just amazing that astrology can tell us that.
Yeah, I think that the Earth in my chart is probably what makes me so determined to demonstrate that metaphysics is a very earthly tool. You know, yeah. I'm passionate about, and also the all of the air in my chart makes me want to logically understand and analyze and be able to prove that metaphysics is very valid. And that's my real passion, to help people see that metaphysics is not a hobby or it's not woo-woo. It's very academic. There's a very analytical, logical, rational, academic side to metaphysics. And when people really investigate that side of metaphysics, they can't really refute it.
I tell you, one thing I love about astrology is that it often will repeat the same statement just for those of us who maybe don't get it the first time. Again, looking at your chart, there are lots of symbols here that would speak for a career in metaphysics. Jupiter in the sixth house of skills, and in the sign that he rules, very nice Jupiter. Saturn in the 10th house and at full power. So I've often wondered, man, how does the guy do it? How is he able to, you know, really work so effortlessly in these other planes? And once I saw your natal chart, it was it definitely became clear to me. But I'm going to yield the floor now, because I know probably some of my co-hosts have a ton of questions for you, and really I'm just very pleased at tonight's interview. I'm going to go to the archives myself and listen to it.
Yeah, that's definitely a show to listen to a number of times and really absorb. And I have a copy of the Stellium Handbook from Donna. She sent that to me, and it's absolutely fascinating, extremely useful.
Ah, and this book hasn't come out yet. She just released it, you say?
I think it's available now, actually.
Ah, and you got a copy, lucky, lucky fellow. I'm going to rush to Amazon.com or Skywriter, her site, and that's with a T, and pick up a copy of that for myself and add it to my already big collection of Donna Cunningham. But I mean, I cut my teeth on her work when I was a young astrologer at Hogwarts.
She's amazing. Amazing.
She is absolutely amazing. Well, Maureen, I'm curious to know what you thought about some of this astrology.
Well, I'd like to know, do you have my chart in front of you so we can talk about my chart?
Well, this is a T-rated show, Maureen. I'm sorry. There's two.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I'm just saying.
Maureen. I can get it. I can send it to Steve, and if you like.
It's okay. It's right. Because as I can recall, is from 20-something years ago. First, I would like to say this about her. She's a wonderful. She knows her. She knows it. She knows what's going on. Very educated in the science of astrology. There's no doubt. The way I always felt about it was that. It's almost like when I was back in the day, it could have been yesterday, you know, I've spoken about this before, we didn't have computers to do the fast, you know, get the degrees and everything, and that was the best thing in the world, because that's when I really was able to get into the meat of everything that astrology had, and it wowed me, because from there, even though I was utilizing it, in, like I said, the tarot are a symbolic record of human experience, but I also feel very strongly combining the astrology with what I was getting into, and numerology, the other sciences, it just blows my mind how much they fuse together, and they all make sense. You know, so you get one person that says tarot's a big, it's not like I'm saying tarot knows it all, you know, people that are using it as a tool, it's everything, but I feel when you combine it all, it's fantastic. It's unbelievable what, how, I don't know if you guys, what you feel about this, it blows my mind how there's these, I don't know, the synchronicities or these signs, I don't know what to call it, how they're just, everything makes so much sense, and they all together bring together such a amount of insight. But not just separately. They do so very much so combining them. And I would like to just say that, okay? Now, she also mentioned something I liked about in the different environments. Did I hear her right?
Yes, she did. She talked about different locations.
Yes, about how that can really play a big difference. And, you know, that could be by choice the way we decide to go, or what choices. I've always felt like where I've been, where I am, I have to be where the ocean is. I mean, so close by it. For whatever reasons, even though I have, well, Steve, you know, you know about my dark secret. But the thing of it is, the ocean is something that calms me. And if I'm not saying the mountains aren't, I love all that other stuff, but really, the ocean, something about the ocean, and maybe because there's more water in my, I'm a Pisces rising, except I know some people say I'm Aquarius, but there's a couple different ways people are looking at it. I don't know, but I have a lot of water. Anyway, I'm emotional. I'm an emotional wreck. Maybe I need to be around the water. But the water is what I know I could never live without or never live by. As close, like I said, I have to be so, you know, I'm very close to it right now. I grew up right on top of it. So I feel that that made so much sense to me. I'm glad she brought that up because I do feel that it really does. If people are mindful of it, it could really, like you said, Steve, like you said, well, actually could be beneficial to what kind of work you're doing, right? And so on like that. I thought that was very interesting. I've never really heard anybody talk much about, about in a chart they'll talk about, but not overall. Do you follow me? I hope anybody's following
me
out there.
Yes, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think
great.
It's brilliant that one of the wonderful things about astrology is that it really helps a person to understand who they are and how they can most easily play their role in the world or what their strengths are.
And make do with what they, and then rearrange and focus on that other stuff to bring it in. Exactly. I think that is a, that's why I feel the other sciences as well, combining or being open to them, it can be a really nice trip, life ride of a lifetime, if you're willing to work on yourself too as well. So, yeah.
It's exciting stuff. And I agree with you about the fact that it's really fascinating that the different systems are all interconnected. So you've got the 22 cards of the major arcana that correlate with or map to the planets and the signs of the zodiac,
exactly,
the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, numbers, numerology. It's just incredible.
It's like, who made this stuff up? But if somebody, it's a miracle that we're even born into this world, how we all are made. It is, if you think about it. But when I was doing all that and everything came together, I couldn't explain it to anybody. My mind was blown away. I was like, I was so into knowledge, learning and learning, absorbing. And I was like, I couldn't word it, but I was like, wow, this is so I was like having an experience like no other. When I really miss those days sometimes when I think back. It was something. Thank you.
You're welcome, Maureen. Thank you. Yes, she's a great guest. Great guest. Is Stephen still with us?
I don't know, but that was...
He's reading. He's gone off to read Donna's website.
Ah, yes, absolutely.
No, he's going to see what my chart says. Boom.
Well, Maureen, you've got... I mean, that Pisces rising, Maureen, that's a very, very psychic signature as well, because Pisces is receptive. And you having it there on the ascendant means that it's at full power. It's like the volume on it is turned all the way up. Somebody who has that Pisces in the third house, for instance, it's like it's wrapped in cotton. But you're definitely, with Pisces rising, you were born to be a psychic.
Yeah, so they say. I lived this long to be it. That's it. No more
questions. I'll tell everybody. It's impossible to keep a secret from Maureen anyway. She reads my mind on a regular basis.
I don't do that.
Yeah, you do. You know what we're all thinking, Maureen. Just like earlier, Doug was going to say something, and you just hopped right in there and said pretty much the same thing. You know, very, 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 very receptive. Interesting. Well, Satya, I'm curious to hear your take on this because, you know, you're into a lot of Eastern philosophies, I would imagine. And what are your thoughts on all of this stuff?
Well, I loved it. She was so incredibly detailed. She was so detailed. I am going to have to go back and listen to archive. But I thought it was amazing. I was raised in a family of astrologists. My aunt is an astrologist, and so is my sister. And so I really only know about it through them. So I certainly don't consider myself to be an expert. But I can tell you, having heard about what my life was going to be like as a child, and then now having lived a big portion of it, it's been really amazing how accurate it is. It's incredible. So I love it. I'm fascinated. I wish that I could, you know, I've got so many things on my plate, but I wish it was something that I could spend more time studying and get as good at it as you and Steve. But I love it. I'm fascinated.
It does take some time. There's a definite learning curve, but it pays off with time. That's for sure. What do you think, Steve?
Studying astrology.
Yeah, yeah. How long did it take you to, you know, to get proficient?
Well, I've been interested. Well, I think it's different for each person. I've been interested in astrology for a long, long time, since I was a kid. I was always reading books about psychic ability, ESP, mediumship, astrology, numerology, you name it. But I think that with the right tuition and the right commitment, the right effort, a person can learn a lot about astrology in a reasonable period of time. I don't feel it takes a lifetime. A person can become proficient if they really throw themselves into it within a couple of years, in my opinion. But the thing I love about astrology and really all forms of metaphysics is that you're always learning. It doesn't matter how much you know, there's always more to explore, and particularly in the field of astrology, there's so much that has not yet been researched. It's never ending. And I feel that we're decoding the universe. We're understanding this code, this cipher that was put in place. And my guides always said to me, Stephen, all knowledge is available. And as a kid, I used to think, well, I don't see how it is, because I can get certain information from my guides, but I have to ask a question and they share what they choose to share. So that doesn't mean, therefore, that I have access to all information. And then when I really got into the depths of metaphysics, and particularly astrology, I realized that all information is available, and that's what they meant.
It is. And, you know, I actually would like to construct or write an article sort of in defense of tarot and astrology. I have the occasional client, you know, who doesn't like those tools. And, you know, it seems to me that mediumship is very powerful, but sometimes it might depend on, I guess, the spirit. When people pass into spirit, if they're not experienced with spiritual things, then, I mean, are they going to enter into the spirit world, knowing what to do? No,
exactly. So, I don't think you transition to spirit and become an angel overnight. You know, you still have to continue your journey of growth. And that specific point of yours, Stephen, is really important. That's the reason why I wanted to become an astrologer as well, because I was channeling. And when a client says, yes, that my aunt was Aunt Betty, and yes, she did pass in the month of May, and yes, she did wear those blue slippers that you described, then it's evidential. But when you're channeling information about the future or things that might occur for that client, how do you validate it other than waiting? Well, the answer is astrology validates what you sense or what you're given by spirit.
Sounds to me that this makes you, I guess, a more well-rounded and more accurate psychic medium. But I tell you what, Steve, before we really get into that, I'd like to go ahead and announce the call-in number for those who are interested in getting that free reading in the second hour of our show here. We will be taking your calls and questions in a bit. You can either call this number, and let me just go ahead and give you the number. It's 724-444-4851. I'm going to repeat that. It's 724-444-4851. Each call is automatically going to be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Now, you're going to hear the show And that'll help you to just sort of know that we are aware of you. So just listen and relax. Be patient. You're going to come on the air, and you're going to get your chance to give us your question. We can only take one question per person in the interest of fairness to all the others. So please restrict your call to one issue, okay? If you're calling about Kevin, you know, ask one sharp, focused question about Kevin. And when you get your answer, please try to restrict any other questions that come up. If you have a lot of other questions, come join us at psychicaccess.com so we can really get under the hood of the thing. But the free call-in hour isn't designed to troubleshoot complicated situations. Sharp, focused questions only, please, and you'll get a very high-quality answer. And again, the number is 724-444-4851. Okay, I'll turn it back over to you guys. Wanted to get that out there. And actually, come to find out, that was fast. We have a caller from Georgia for Maureen.
Hello, Georgia. This is Georgia State of. Hello, this is Maureen. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. May I have your name, please?
Shanisa.
Shanisa. I hope I said Shanisa. Hi. What can I help you with?
I'm calling about me and David. I'm wondering, are we gonna pursue something, or am I just gonna break up with him? I really love him, but I don't know.
Okay. So I guess what I hear you saying is, I mean, I can't tell you what to do about breaking up with him. I think you're kind of getting fed up. But you want? How about this? I'll focus on, is there any possibility that there is a good possibility that some good change will come by? If you detached, maybe so too. David? Okay. You said David is his name?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then. Sounds like you've been doing this. Well, see, well, I'm looking at it. It seems like, well, it appears to me that this dance has been going on pretty much for a while with you two, hasn't it? You know,
yes.
It's you know, it happens, and you're right. I can see it does not. You're not in balance with it anymore. It's and this is a good thing. It's like after a while, you become mindful. Maybe he hasn't, but it is definitely It's not that I see you too bad. Actually, I see a very strong bond here. However, I do feel that the only way that perhaps this can be a very workable and good relationship, it's going to take some work, is if you are the one to make the choice of what you need to do, and it's either those boundaries you've got to draw or put into place and really stand by them. And I do see that you're up for the challenge of that, because, like I said, you've been doing this dance, you get into a pattern of this and so on. It's just it's a dynamics. However, if you're able to do that, and I feel you are, because you're the stronger. I feel, and without the idea, okay, you know, the worst thing, a lot of women, I'm not saying you're like, it's not like everybody, but you know how some people, oh, if I do that, I'll never, you know, the relationship will be over, I won't have them in my life anymore. I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of stuff. That's the worst thing, because, you know, the worst thing is, okay, that may be the case, but on the other hand, do you want to, you know what you don't want. You don't want it to continue on in the same dance you've been doing. You're ready to shake it up and do a different dance. You're in a good position.
Yeah.
I see you're strong and in a good position, because you do know what you don't want. And you do not want to feel like it's almost like you don't blend anymore. This is a healthy time, although it's uncomfortable. See, this is what I call a negative, making a negative into a positive. And I'm not saying a lot of ways, you're doing this for yourself, but the benefit will come from the relationship. And I do feel, he's a fly, he's a good guy, but he's flighty. He's flighty. He looks very charming, good looking, nice in the eyes. Is he?
Yes.
Very. And his flirtation, you know, he just can't. He's not on this. I don't see him. I see him continuing on in the months ahead to be like he is, very noncommittal, flighting around. I don't feel that it's all about him wanting to be with anybody else so much. He flirts, but that's his nature. I'm not giving a free card to do. But on the other hand, I do feel that has a lot to do with whatever's going on within him. I do see some work going on that he's going to be able to release. You've already done all this stuff. He's behind you, you know. That I do feel that if you were able to be detached and go about your business, and if you feel like, you know, contact him, so be it, not to what everybody else in the world thinks you should or shouldn't do. I do feel that this relationship would really thrive, but it would take a lot of work, and releasing a false ego is really what it comes down to. And I see family honor, and I also feel the mother, there's a mother energy around here. Are you a mother around with him? Or what? No, not that he's a mother. Or the mother looks very positive. Do you have a child with him? I don't know.
He has a little girl.
So you have a relationship with her? Do you have a relationship with her?
He doesn't have a baby with me, but I have a relationship with her.
Okay.
I see her.
You mean a lot to her.
That's nice.
You know, it's very nice. I mean, I'm sure you know that without me saying you're following me. You're real good. You can really see. It's nice. She's special, and a lot of people won't see the interesting uniqueness in her authentic. You know, the old saying goes, be careful what you wish for. It might come true. The thing of it is, this, I do feel it's workable. It's going to take a bit of time, but be careful what you wish for, because what will happen is if he starts really taking a good turn, and because by your own doing, he has to follow boundaries, and you've got to be strong, and that means you've got to be fearless, and yeah, you might risk him leaving forever. I don't feel that will happen, but I do see it's ready. It's great timing. However, it will freak you out too. You know, we always want something, and suddenly, oh, okay, everything's kind of doing pretty good. Then you'll have to work on your own issues there. But I feel that you two and this child looks really connected to you. It's very positive. So you already know the answer to this stuff. I think I'm just giving you confirmation. And I think you're a really wonderful woman. Your energy is. And it's okay. And I see you learning like a student, getting a lot more knowledge by detaching a bit too on your own individual. And I do see family honor, people coming around and being a little bit more happier about it. But he's going to be next few months kind of difficult, as he has been. But if you take yourself out of the equation, things will change, okay? Definitely.
Okay.
So I wish you well, okay? Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. You guys know how you go into the grocery store and they give out free samples. Well, what you just heard was like a little pineapple chunk stuck on a toothpick. If you want the whole pineapple, you need to go to psychicaccess.com and call Maureen. She will get under the hood of your problem and fix it for you. But now I have a call from Wisconsin. Hello, Wisconsin. How are you? Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, how are you this evening?
Hello. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thank you for calling, and how may I help you?
Yes, I was wondering if you could tell me what you see in the near future and what's going on, relationship-wise with me.
Absolutely. Let's just look over the next 3 months and see what you can expect in terms of your relationship, okay? So the next 4 weeks, starting from the 3rd of April, which is today, until the beginning parts of May. If you've been having problems with your relationship, I would expect that to actually stop over the next 4 weeks. I see a definite improvement over the next 4 weeks, primarily due to the influence of Venus and the sign of Libra and Trump number 3, which is the Empress. So Libra is going to harmonize. If you've been, if you have someone and have been fighting with that person, then you'll smooth everything over. If you're single, then in the next 4 weeks you'll have plenty of opportunities to mix with other singles and to find one for you. This card is a definite symbol of relationship, and in fact, I am picking up on an actual figure, a young male. A Pisces temperament. So this fellow will be more creative than I would imagine a practical. Okay. So, and you're going to meet him probably within the next 4 to 8 weeks, but I see him coming into prominence as we get into May. Definitely, for sure, very much a Pisces. If there's going to be any problem with this dude, it's going to be that he's a little too creative, maybe a little depressed sometimes. Pisces, you know, is very emotional. The month after that, even better, we have the reversed hangman. So what that tells me is that you're going to be past sacrifices in the love life are going to be paid back now. So for whatever that's worth, if you've suffered in your romantic life up till now or have had some bad shakes, then it really does look to me, A, like you're going to meet somebody significant within the next 4 to 8 weeks, and B, that you're going to be paid back in a positive way for sacrifices and things that have happened to you where you were perhaps taken advantage of. It's going to counter that. So this is a very, very good forecast that I'm looking at for you.
Okay. I do have a question, because there's actually two guys that are kind of like, I don't know if you want to say fighting over me, One of them I was dating, and the other one I just met. And I was just wondering what you see with that.
Which one's the younger one? Well, the creative
younger
one. Now, I'm seeing a guy right now. As to whether or not it's these particular guys, I can't say. You know, if you had asked me that from the beginning of the call, then I would have had the time to have gotten into it. But unfortunately, we don't have the time to get into it. You know, we can only take one question. And you asked me about your relationship life, and you got your answer there. Your relationship, for better or for worse, I mean, it's actually going to be for better. You're going to be happy regardless of who it is. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to be happy regardless of who it is. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. The thing that makes me the thing that makes me really feel, you know, gives me a warm fuzzy on the inside is that reversed hangman. Because that tells me that, A, and this could point towards the idea that perhaps it is some gentleman that you've had dealings with in the past, because you're going to be paid back for past sacrifices. So you just hang in there, and I'm telling you, you're going to have a smile on your face here pretty soon. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful spring for you and a nice summer, okay?
Okay. I understand.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. And come back and see us next week, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You have a nice night.
Yes, ma'am. You as well.
Thank you.
Okay. We actually have a caller from New Jersey for Satya.
Welcome, New Jersey.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Certainly. Can I get your first name to start?
My name is Simone.
I'm sorry, sweetie. What is it?
Simone. S-I-M-O-N-E.
Simone, beautiful name. Simone, how can I help you?
Thank you for helping me. I would like to know if I will eventually get a job. I've been unemployed for 2 years.
Oh, no. Okay, well, Simone, can I get your date of birth? It just helps me to tune into the Akashic Records. It's kind of like a file name you type into a computer system.
Okay, September 25th, 1986.
86. Okay. Oh, Simone, do you have a grandmother that's passed over?
Yes, I do.
Can you give me her name? She's telling you to go back to school.
Elise,
and she seems quite adamant about it. What's her name?
Elise.
Yeah, so she's telling me that you had big dreams when you were a child, and something happened. Did you not go to college at all?
I did go to college. I had to stop and take care of my
family.
You
dropped out.
Okay,
so she's saying you've got to finish that work and go back. It's really important because it's your life path. Now, as for a job, you do need to get a job. I can see you need work in order to help you to get through college. I can see that. So I do feel like you're going to get a job at the end of the summer. And I know that's a long wait, but that's what I'm hearing. So I'm hearing like August, maybe even September. But I really, I just, your grandmother is a powerful woman and very, she's really pushing me to tell you that you have to go back and finish school. Finish what you started. You have to complete this. Can
I don't
ask
have the money for that.
What were you going to school for?
I'm just a kid, you know.
I'm so sorry. What did you say, Simone?
I said I have a kid who has autism, so it'll be hard for me to just go to school right now. I mean, eventually I always dreamed about finishing, but I need money to support him.
Right. Simone, can I ask what were you going to take in school? Because it looks like there were actually two things that you were majoring in or thinking about.
Psychology, and then I was going to go into probably the medical field.
Okay, so you're going to do a double. Yeah, it's a double thing. Well, Simone, I get it. I get that it's really hard. And I'm not going to say that it's going to be easy, but I think this is your life path. This is what you came to do on this planet and really to help people. So, you know, I just want to encourage you to do the best you can. Maybe just start with one class and just, you know, take a small piece out of it. You know, just start with one class, get on the path, because I think things are going to start falling back into place. So I wish you absolutely the best, Simone, and I think you're going to do great work.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Satya. That was an outstanding reading. I've kind of got goosebumps over here. You need to call Satya if you have a complex problem that has been eluding you for a long time. She will definitely help you. And you can reach Satya at psychicaccess.com. Now, we have a call for Steve from Missouri.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Missouri?
Crystal.
Hello, Crystal. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Crystal. How can we help?
I don't know if you can help me or not. I'm trying to find out why my son died.
Why your son died? That's a difficult question. That's a tough one.
Yes.
What I will say to you first of all, Crystal, is I'm drawn to the number five. As soon as you asked the question, I was drawn very much to the number five. And that can be the age of five. It could be a reference to the month of May. But that's what I'm drawn to in the first instance. Does that make sense?
Number five does make sense.
Yeah, I feel it really, really strongly. And I can tell you he's a very gifted little boy. Real bright spirit, real bright spark. Also very, very loving. He's just got this presence in his eyes. You just know that he is a wonderful, wonderful kid. I honestly feel that, I know it sounds obvious, but I feel that he had other work to do. I feel that, you know, he's a very spiritual, very smart, very gentle, sensitive boy. He always felt things very deeply. He's the kind of kid that could look you in the eye and make a simple statement that just blows you away. A response, a philosophy that's far beyond what you might have thought of yourself. Really special kid. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I know that you're a wonderful mom, and I know that it's been extremely difficult. You have a lady in spirit as well, don't you?
Yes.
And she... I see her very clearly, and I don't know why, but with her I'm drawn to the same time of year. I've drawn to the month of April with her, but I see her holding his hand, and I see him looking up to her, and I know that they're together, and I know from what my guides are showing me that you've asked, you've wondered, issue with him, was she there to welcome him? And the answer is absolutely yes. And I don't know if this makes sense to you, it may not, but there's a wonderful little puppy dog. I feel that he was given a puppy dog. Not sure if he asked for a puppy dog when he was here, but I feel that he's been given this wonderful little puppy dog, this companion. And my guides say to you, This is the way it's meant to be. And I know it's extremely tough. I can't say to you that I understand, because I don't have kids. So I can't say I know how you feel. That would be silly of me. But you will be together again. You're here now, and you're meant to be here. You've got very important work to do. You're very, very gifted. Very gifted. You're meant to be here, and he's meant to be in spirit. I can tell you, I had a dreadful accident when I was about 23, and I passed to spirit. I was resuscitated a couple of times. It's the most wonderful place. The words can't describe how wonderful it is. You just feel complete. You feel healed? Do you feel that everything you ever did or said that was wrong is just fixed? You just feel completely surrounded by love. It's, bliss is the word that describes it most easily, but there really isn't a word that describes the sensation. So you don't need to worry about him. I see a train, looks like a plastic train. Do you have a plastic train of his?
No. We live by trains, but no.
You live by trains?
Yes.
Yeah, because I see a train. It looks like a toy train to me. But he shows me this train. And I know that he's around you. You've sensed him around you. I feel like you've sensed him touch the right cheek of your face. Have you felt that yet?
No.
You'll feel a hand touch the right cheek of your face, and you'll know he's around you.
Does he feel guilty for dying?
No. I don't feel so. I don't feel so. But I do feel that he needs you to be at peace with the situation. Be at peace with what happened. That will help him, that will help you. Okay?
Peace would be knowing why he died, so.
Well, knowing specifically why he died is something that we can see in his astrology at that time. So if you want to contact me on Psychic Access sometime, I'll have a look at his chart for you. You get a free 6-minute reading, and that's enough time to look at his chart and answer that question. But he's okay. With you, and he's okay. Okay?
Okay. And what's your name?
Steve.
Steve, okay.
Okay, Crystal. It's lovely to talk to you. And I do feel for you, but just know that he's okay. Go onto YouTube and look up Coral Polge, Coral, and then Polge. You will see amazing evidence of the afterlife. You'll have no doubts about it when you watch those clips, okay?
Okay.
I wish you lots of love and good luck.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye, Crystal.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Steve. That was an excellent reading. Steve accomplished a lot in a very short time. If you have more time and want to talk to Steve, visit psychicaccess.com, and he'll tell you things about yourself that you didn't realize. So, Maureen, we have a call for you from North Carolina.
Yes, we do. Hello, North. Thank you, Stephen. Hello, North Carolina.
Hi, it's Lily again. We keep getting each other.
Hi, oh, it's Margaret. Hi, that's right. Hi. I remember. Yeah, before I asked. How are you?
Fine. I don't have any problems. Okay.
I'm glad.
That's good. I know. I'm advancing spiritually pretty fast, and I'm not really good at the tarot, but I have been studying just different Eastern and Western philosophies, and I did pull the hangman in verse twice. I was kind of happy because to me it looked like he was dancing with the sunshine behind his head, but I don't know enough about it, but why would I be pulling that twice in a row out of all the decks, the cards in the deck, twice in a row? I pulled that card pertaining to my spiritual growth, and I don't know why.
Okay, so you're kind of asking me how sometimes there's synchronicities. I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. I'm open-minded because of the fact remains is everything is there's no the way I see it. I'm not saying that you have to. There's no coincidences. There's things that just everything is just about timing and such. So you're saying you're just getting into the tarot and pulling cards out, from what I understand, because you've been learning a lot about different Eastern philosophy and so on. Is that correct? So the tarot are something you're just getting getting acquainted with, actually, right? And so that's what I'm hearing. So I'm asking you because I think it's a great way that you're doing it. So you pull a card, and it seems like you pulled the card twice on Hangman. This is my deal about that. And you said that it's been reversed, correct?
Both times.
Okay. You know, the thing of it is when my feeling is on this, and you know, I could be wrong, but first of all, I loved what you said about take away from anything else that you've heard about what it's supposed to mean, because I'm sure you've read something about what it might mean in a book, or I'm sure of it. But you said something really beautiful at the very beginning. You said, he said something like, it looks like it's sunny or in the background. Wait, how did you say that? Say that again. You said something really lovely about the reverse.
It's inverted. So I'm supposed to either say it's a blockage or it's negative, but when I looked at him, he was dancing, and he had a sun behind his head, and I was happy to see him. So
I love that, and because of the reason why, you know, what you're supposed to get away out of your mind, this is what my feeling is, because of how I learned over 25-something, I'm really getting old, I didn't know what I was doing learning, but what I did was I drew pictures. It's funny because I'm just messing with my cards. I don't need my cards, but the Hangman came up reverse, which is funny. It is funny to me. I mean, okay, maybe it should have or whatever, but I love what you said because I'm suggesting you do this because everybody's interpretation, you could read all the books you want, your mind will go overloaded. The way I read them myself is I go off of them, whatever I'm feeling, and it could mean that nobody else would see the interpretation. I feel you should go on what you're feeling, and I used to draw pictures. That's how I learned them. I would just pick it up and draw, and I started becoming a really good artist, actually. And then I would kind of relate to it. Now, the Hangman reverse to me is what I always referred this to, and it's not a bad card in my own interpretation. I mean, and I know some of the definitions, but my feeling is that because you said something very positive, like you're talking about your son isn't behind, it looks like he's dancing. It's almost like, in a way, the Hangman to me always reflect to me useless sacrifice, okay? Meaning there's so many of us go around and we're frolicking around and we're having useless sacrifices, but we're really thinking we're sacrificing. A lot of times people do that in their relationships. I myself, we all have done that. And in fact, you're not really doing any good sacrifice. You're just, it's useless. But if you do useful sacrifice, the pain is just as much there, but you get to resurrect. And so many times we'll call it compromise or, you know, they won't want to work at it, relationships. My feeling is that you should investigate this card a little bit more because it also is a number, it's a number 3, which is the Empress, which is a female energy. And that's how I use the numerology with that. And really, I just feel that it's something it may be trying to indicate to you, work on yourself and not sacrificing for no good reason anymore. Useful sacrifice is where it really belongs in the proper perspective of the people that you're with, you know? Do you follow me? I hope so. Because it's not a bad card. It's not. And people, like I said, draw the picture that you see it reversed. And I mean, even if you're not an artist, draw the colors and everything. I'm encouraging you to do that because I really feel it would be really helpful for you to do that. And you might be more connected with it that way.
So it is an important card to me right now. You can say, I think so too, but
absolutely.
I got it. Thank
absolutely
you.
And there's no doubt about it. And I yes, it is, but I that's just where I'm sitting, of course, but I feel it's okay, it's real good. Yes. And I'm happy for you. I think this is really great. You'll really connect with them in a deeper level than most.
Okay.
I hope it helped you.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. That was outstanding. If anybody would like a reading with Maureen, please visit her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a call from Louisiana. Hello, Louisiana.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi. How may I help you?
I just wanted to see if you... I've been single for a while, so I just wanted to see if you see any romance coming into my life.
Okay, well, let's see if romance will come into your life, and let's put a time limit on it, okay? Because I like to put limits on things. I know, I can tell you right now, romance is going to come into your life again, but now, 6 months from now, 15 years from now, when seems to be the important question. I can go ahead and tell you right now you're going to have love come into your life. But will it happen before 6 months? Let's go with 6 months and see what we got here, okay?
Yes.
Will love happen within 6 months? Well, it's going to take a little bit longer than 6 months. At the end of the 6 months period is when you'll meet a man who will be a candidate. Now, the reason love isn't going to happen in 6 months is because you're just going to be meeting this gentleman at the end of 6 months. You follow me? So love will probably happen within a year. That's what I'm judging. And in fact, I'm quite confident about that. The testimonies that are coming to me now are very optimistic in that regard. And I'm telling you something, I tend to be a bit of a negative Nelly with these things. If I say, if I see a good result, then and I communicate that to you, then the chances are then you're going to have reason for optimism. I see that right now, this very moment, you're in a period of extreme change as far as your romantic life is concerned. Whether you're even aware of that or not, the changes are brewing up in the heavens, and they're going to percolate, filter right down to you, and it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. And furthermore, I want you to know that it's probably going to get a little worse before it gets better. If you, for instance, if you've had any, I don't know, I'm speculating, but if there's someone in the past who might come back, or, you know, some nostalgic connection you make with someone from the past, I would not expect this to go well. I would expect everything, you to be single until for at least 6 months from now. And I tell you that I do expect a little bit of depression before you meet the gentleman that I'm talking about. Now, I'll go ahead and give you some information about this gentleman. I would expect him to be on the tall side. Light complected. Now, this has nothing. I'm not making a statement about his ethnicity. African Americans can be light complected. Caucasians can be dark complected. Whatever this gentleman's ethnicity is, he's going to be on the lighter side of it. That's what I want you to know. And he's going to be tall, longish arms. But the important thing, what I'm picking up on, what's really streaming into me, is his temperament. This is going to be the sort of fellow who is changeable in a good way. And also probably in a bad way, too. Very sensitive man, but very skillful. This is going to be the sort of guy who makes people jealous because he's a jack of all trades and master of them all. Very curious, intellectual person. He might even be a teacher. Even if he's not a formal teacher, you'll recognize him because he's always going to be sermonizing you and teaching you things. His brothers and sisters, his siblings are going to be important to him. He's going to be involved with his neighbors. He might be literary. And the reason I'm saying all of these things is because whether he's a Gemini or not, he's going to be manifesting the temperament of a Gemini with you. And this is going to happen towards the end of 6 months. Now, why do I think that he's going to be significant? Because after you meet him, I can tell you for a fact, you're going to encounter some very pleasant energies, energies of self-empowerment, energies of newness and a new type of communication, and also energies of healing and transformation, such that if you've had negative romantic experiences in the past, then these actually will heal because of your dealings with this who I call the Gemini man, do you see? So the answer to your question is you're going to find love within 7 months to a year. By this time next year, more than likely, you're going to be in a full-time relationship, or at least you'll have met him. And, you know, I'm not going to speculate about whether or not you're going to get married or how long the relationship's going to last, but you're going to find love, and it'll find you, and you're going to have a shot at it, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling the Psychic Viewpoint. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay, we have a caller from Missouri. For Satya.
Welcome, Missouri.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good.
How can
I would like
you?
To know what my career looks like. I guess my future for my career, I'm going to go to on to grad school or professional school, or am I going to go straight into the workforce after graduation?
Okay, let me start getting your first name.
First name's Christina.
Christina. And Christina, can I get your date of birth? It just helps me to tune in.
June 13th, 1992.
Oh, you're young, Christina. you know, I'm hearing both. I actually feel like I feel like it's some kind of internship, actually. I'm hearing some kind of internship. And you do that, and I feel like you need to do that in order to help you to continue grad school and go on. But I actually feel like you're going to go all the way. However, I'm hearing there's a year break in between. So it's almost like you need a respite. And also, I think there's some financial things that are going on as well. So you need a little bit of time in between. It doesn't look, I kind of read energy and I'm seeing a stop and then a start back up again. And so you're going to need a little time off and then you continue and then you go all the way.
All right.
And good for you, because you've got some ambition going on, but you've also got the energy for it. So that's great.
All right. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you very much for that. Satya is the kind of reader I like, economical to the extreme. Please, please call her up, psychicaccess.com. You will not be disappointed. Next, we have a caller from Tennessee for Steve.
Thank you. Who's calling from Tennessee?
Yes. Hey.
Hi. What's your name?
King. I wonder what you see for me from my spiritual path.
For your spiritual path, Jean, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, let's have a look, Jean. Let's see. Well, the first thing I get with you, Jean, is healing ability. I feel like you've got a good healing ability, good hands-on healing ability. You bring a lot of balance to people. You've got a very calming energy, and you're very good at just bringing people to a calm perspective. So you're very good at doing hands-on healing, I feel. You've got that great energy. But I also feel that you're great counseling people. You've got a lot of experience in many different types of situations in life. You've really had some tough challenges. You know, you're somebody that has really experienced so much that you're able to empathize with people that are experiencing difficulties. And most of the things that people would want to discuss with you, you're able to understand. You come from a real position of authority and empathy when dealing with people that are troubled. So I feel that with you, there's some hands-on healing work, and there's also counseling work, potentially giving readings if you want to go down that route and are prepared to learn about the tools that can be used to help people that way. I honestly feel as well that it's not a long time. I feel that you will actually be much more firmly on your path by the month of October this year. It's only about 6 months or so until you really feel that you're doing your work, doing that spiritual work that you really want to do. Do you understand?
Oh, yes, good.
Yeah, you need to go for it. You really do.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Steve. I would like to take this opportunity to just go ahead and circulate that phone number once more, 724-444-4851. We do have a little bit more time here. But, however, I think we are kind of getting close to the hour. And I was just sort of getting curious, about the astrology and how people really reacted to tonight's really high-level sort of information. So I just want to remind everyone that you can go to the archives, you can listen to that interview with Donna Cunningham as many times as you like, and you will wind up understanding. And if you still have questions, by all means, please visit skyrider.com and pick up her book, and that will definitely fix all questions in your mind. But as far as I'm concerned, this concludes a really enlightening show. We've set out a lot for ourselves tonight, and we've done well. We've learned a lot. I'd like to thank Doug C., always working behind the scenes to make the rest of us look great. Thank you, Doug. Big thanks also to Stephen Frampton for pulling off the impossible and bringing a true, true astrological hero onto the show tonight. That was huge and a treat for me. I'd also love to thank Satya and Maureen for adding their magic to the mix. Also, thank you, the faithful listener. We do it for you. Without you, we would not be here. So join us next week, and we'll have another great psychic viewpoint for you. And speaking of next week, isn't your show next week, Maureen?
No.
It is not. Whose show
is
next week?
I think it's your show.
You know what? You're exactly right. It is my show. And I have a wonderful one lined up, too. Her name is Jen Pearlstein. Jenny Pearlstein. She's a tarot reader, but she's also a therapist. And so next week we're going to go into how do we treat serious sorts of illnesses like depression or some serious things like a lack of concentration. How will the tarot help that? How will the tarot be useful in a clinical setting? So we're going to stray away from the typical questions of romance and does he love me, does he not, by really getting into the psyche with the tarot next Thursday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Psychic Viewpoint. And on that note, I would like to say goodnight to everyone from all of us, to all of you. We wish you prosperity, health, and happiness. See you next week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Psychicaccess.com.